6-1, California Supreme Court upholds the gay marriage ban. Speaking of courts and the Supreme, there is a nominee for the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, and that is exactly who many people thought President Obama would look to choose, because a woman and a Hispanic woman at that, shattering the glass ceiling of the Supremes. This would be the third woman, of course, if she in fact is confirmed. We're going to talk about that, obviously, through the night. Also, we're going to talk about a couple of other things that are happening, including Ahmadinejad is at it again, and so is Kim Jong-il. We're talking about nukes, another bunch of nukes fired off, and, of course, thumbing his nose, Ahmadinejad, at sanctions. I'll explain in detail. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America tonight. And if you're feeling, well, a little chunky after Memorial Day, and we're going to talk to Nate Green about how you can shape up, maybe in time to melt away a few pounds before the summer, although we don't have much time, right? Because we're almost in to June. But first, here's what Sonia Sotomayor had to say after she jumped in front of the mics at the Newser, pleased to accept the president's nomination.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the most humbling honor of my life. You have nominated me to serve on the country's highest court, and I am deeply moved. I chose to be a lawyer and ultimately a judge because I find endless challenge in the complexities of the law. I firmly believe in the rule of law as the foundation for all of our basic rights. For as long as I can remember, I have been inspired by the achievement of our founding fathers. They set forth principles that have endured for more than two centuries. Those principles are as meaningful and relevant in each generation as the generation before. It would be a profound privilege for me to play a role in applying those principles to the questions and controversies we face today.
All right, so who is Sonia Sotomayor? That's what a lot of people are asking. A lot of people having trouble, by the way, pronouncing her name, including the president who called her Sotomayor in one of the things that I happened to see. Regardless of tripping over her name, here's the scoop. She grew up in a public housing project in New York, a stone's throw away from Yankee Stadium. Her father died when she was nine, the mother raising her brother and Sonia. And she, as she just said there, was a longtime lawyer. She went to Princeton University, then she went to Yale Law School. She was the editor of the Yale Law Journal. So she has the obligatory credentials on the wall from the lawyer point of view. From the judge point of view, probably what she's most actually known for, it's interesting, as soon as I heard her name, I started to think about this a little bit more, and I'm sure this is circulating somewhat. As a trial judge in 95, she stood in the way of baseball because the owners wanted to put in replacement players, and she said no. She said no to that. And like I said, she was known for a while as the person, in some circles anyway, who saved baseball. She was presided over about, I guess, 450 cases. That was when she was on the district court at one point in her career. She's a judge now on the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. She's known to be absolutely a liberal-leaning justice. And her appointment, certainly, and I guess when I say liberal-leaning, I went through a couple of the things, including the baseball thing, and I have to say it's cherry-picking cases from what I can tell. I think it's a little bit more moderate liberal. I don't know that it's the big title of liberal stamped on her really fits if you go back and look at, I think, some of the cases. And we'll do that. We'll go back and we'll look at some of the decisions that she's made throughout the rest of this week. She was confirmed to her current seat by the Senate in 98. That took about a year for that to go through. The final vote there, 67 to 29. Now, during that battle, a majority of Senate Republicans opposed the nomination, as expected, but she did win over some of the GOP, and that might be pretty critical this time around. Although, with the stronghold of the Democrats, this may take a while, but I don't know that she'll get blocked out. In fact, I'd say that probably Obama's nominee has a great chance of sitting on the court. She's 54 years old, and as I said before, she worked her way up through the legal system, and we'll talk about that a little bit more and talk about who are the people who could actually stand in the way of Sonia Sotomayor. And, of course, Barack Obama couldn't be more thrilled than to choose her. It was where it seemed as though he was leaning. Again, he hasn't done very much in the way of Hispanics since he's jumped into office. That was something that he rectifies here. And also, of course, the fact that many thought he would lean toward a woman. Now, I said this on one of the shows. To me, here's what the bottom line is. Get the most qualified person, whoever you think the most qualified person is, the judge who will make decisions based on the law, based on the law and their interpretations of it. That, to me, is important when you look at some of the things, particularly now, that the Supreme Court will have decisions on. And she has experience, and I think some people think are going to say that she's way too much to the left. But again, if you look at her resume, and more importantly, not so much the resume, the steps, but you look at some of her decisions, that doesn't really hold true. You have to go back and dig around and look at some of the cases, and we'll do that. I told you one, of course, was the baseball deal. She wouldn't allow the replacement players. As somebody who loves the great game of baseball and did sports for my whole life, my whole career, a big chunk of my career anyway, I would say I have to give her a thumbs up for that big, big, big time. So will the Republicans vote against the first Hispanic woman? Or will the Republicans treat Judge Sotomayor fairly and look at the record and go by that? Well, we'll talk about that as well. All right, jumping in here at the top, coming up around the bend, as I said, we're going to talk to Nate about the whole weight thing. If you chow down a bunch of burgers and a bunch of hot dogs and all that sort of stuff. And plus, it's just getting closer to the summer, and it's harder to carry around extra weight in the summer because you can't hide it. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. When you're watching football and you pull over the baggy sweaters and the sweatshirts, you can't do that in the summertime. So male or female, it's tougher. Plus, it's harder when you have, whether it's humidity or strong hot days wherever it is that you live. Oh, is that the worst, trying to fight that off? And you know you have 15, 20 pounds to go, or even more, whatever it is. Also, we're going to talk about sexting. And some people say it's no worse than spin the bottle, but wait till you hear some of the acronyms that I found out. I've got a whole list of them. Shocking. People are texting. I had no idea what they mean. I can't even read half of them on the air, but I'm going to let you hear some of them. With teens sending and receiving an average of 2,272 texts a month, that's a big deal. Hang with us.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
All right, we'll talk more about Sonia Sotomayor coming up around the bend, but right now, everybody can relate to this. You know what I'm talking about, the spare tire. I don't care, man, woman, teenager, you're eating too much, fast food, maybe you're having a few too many cocktails, you know, the beer, the suds will put it on you after a while. And, of course, we're just coming off of a big holiday weekend, and this is when people really start to think about getting in shape, I think, and hopefully you've been thinking about this, but getting into shape for the summer, because you can't really hide too much when you're on a beach or at the pool. You just can't. So you got to figure out a way to curb this thing. And I don't think crash diets really work. They won't hold for very long. That's just a temporary solution. So we had him on, and this has been a long time, but it was terrific when we talked to him before. Nate Green, and he's written a book called Built for Show. Hey, Nate, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
Good. You know, do you think people start to think about the weight loss thing more as it gets closer to summer?
Yeah, and I think it's too little too late, really. I mean, everyone's trying to get that summer body, but they may be stuck in kind of winter mode when now, you know, it's almost June. And like you said earlier, it's you know, people do a lot of crash dieting, and it just doesn't work for the long term. So really, it's about adopting an overall healthy lifestyle, which I know sounds simple, and if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But there's just no other way that if you want lasting results, at least.
Yeah, because the problem with crash diets, is this true, Nate, is that you might see some results. Like I heard Ricky Lake, who used to be really, really big, and now she's slender, or she looks normal when you see her on camera and stuff. And somebody asked her, wow, you know, finally, geez, you were in Hairspray, and you were enormous, the interviewer said to her. She's like, well, you know, and you lost all this weight. Isn't that terrific? What'd you do? And she said, I didn't eat. I hate to say this, but I didn't eat. But how can you, when you crash diet, like not eating or eating very few calories, it really normally doesn't last, does it?
It doesn't last at all. No, that's a very extreme thing. And that's actually kind of unfortunate that's out in the media and people read that and then they, you know, may want to follow that. It's a horrible guideline. I don't know. Really, if you're in a position where you feel like you need to crash diet, you just need to take a look at some basic habits that you may need to adopt or bad habits that you already have that you need to stop. It's really not as hard as people make it. So if you're, you know, anywhere from 10 to 50 or even more pounds overweight, it's really making a few simple things. And so it may not be a crash diet, but there are a couple things you can do really quickly to kind of turn everything around and start dropping some of that weight. One of those would be to just increase the amount of activity you get. I know it sounds weird, but I mean, I watch this all the time. I work out at the gym a couple times a week, and I'll see guys and girls park so close to the door, it's not funny. And if they just parked a little bit further away, it'd be extra steps. Same thing when you're going to the grocery store or going to Target or anything like that. Also, a lot of women especially are kind of scared of the weight room. They're not really lifting any, doing any free weights. And if they were to actually just start lifting heavy weights and get off the cardio machines, they'd see a lot more benefit because they'd build a lot of lean muscle, and that burns fat even when you're in a resting state. So if just sitting here talking to you right now, I'd be burning more fat just because I have more muscle on my body. So those two tips right there, just start moving around more and get to the weights, are going to be huge.
Now, for the weights, so you say it should be heavier weights versus, because you know what's going to happen, this is what women will say, Nate, they don't want to get giant arms, they want to get, now they want to, every, people are saying they want to get Michelle Obama arms because that became the whole thing.
I like that.
What do you do to get those arms?
It's the current celebrity, whoever it is, they want those arms, right? Well, unless you have Michelle Obama's genes, like her mom and dad, you're not going to get her arms. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I know what they're going for. They're going for that lean, I hate the word toned, but I'm going to say it here, the lean toned look. But a muscle can only do two things. It can get bigger or it can get smaller. There's no way to shape it. There's no way to tone it. So all they really say when they mean tone is build some muscle and then shed the fat around it. And the biggest thing to realize is that women just don't have the amount of testosterone and other muscle-building hormones within their bodies to get to that stage. If you've ever looked at women bodybuilders or these huge, bulky females on stage or at the beach or something like that, a lot of women will point to them and be like, I do not want to look like that. It's way too macho and too muscular. But really, even if they went and started lifting heavy weights, 99.9% of women will never get like that, or even close, really. They'll look firmer, they'll feel a lot better, and you know what, they maybe get some really good looks and from the guys. I mean, when my girlfriend goes into the gym to lift, I think she does more weight than most of the guys there, and they don't know what to think about it.
Oh, I love that. Is there such a thing as, and I've wondered this because I've seen people like this, you're talking about people going to the gym and just doing a few things. What about people who exercise too much? Are there people like that and it doesn't do anything?
I think there's a natural compulsion there. I think people that may have been overeaters beforehand and maybe gained some extra fat tend to just switch their compulsion, and it may start being maybe exercise. And so if you're in the gym 6-7 days a week working out for an hour or two, I just have to question where your priorities are. I mean, I have a life, and I don't want to be in the gym for more than I have to. So really, it's just a matter of how effective you're being in the gym. So if you're in there for longer than an hour a day, 7 days a week, or even in there more than 5 days a week, I would say that you need to find a more effective workout program because it's not doing you and giving you the results that you need.
Is it better to mix things up? A lot of people say that, like maybe you walk, maybe you play hoops, maybe you do some other things too.
Yeah, it's very important to mix it up. I would say everyone needs to do some kind of strength training, whether that's body weight exercises like push-ups and lunges and squats. You can do that at home. There's really cool exercise bands and things like that you can get at Target or online. Or if it's going into the weight room and actually lifting some weights there, the resistance training is going to be huge. I think everyone has to have some aspect of that. Another aspect that gets thrown around a lot is people confuse the word cardio with aerobic exercise. So all cardiovascular means is using your heart. So don't you use your heart when you're lifting weights or walking or running a marathon or swimming? You're doing that all the time. And so it doesn't really matter if it's aerobic-based exercise, which is what most people do.
Yeah. What about the food thing? I mean, what kind of tips can you offer for the food thing? That's tough for everybody.
I can make three quick things. My girlfriend's mom loves to drink pop. She has maybe 4 Cokes a day. If she switched to Diet Coke or Coke Zero or just water, she would probably lose a couple pounds of fat in a week simply because she's not taking in an extra 400 or 500 calories. Many people are taking in so many empty calories, they don't even realize it until they start tracking it. So I would just get a food journal. And I know it sounds like a lot of work, but if you get a piece of paper or a note card and just write down everything you eat for 1 week, you will have a very good representation of what your normal eating habits are like. Second thing, drop the carbohydrates, but not too much. I think people went on this whole Atkins craze and this whole South Beach diet phase, which I think is a great book, by the way, but they took it too far, and people are scared of carbohydrates, and the fact is you need them. So if you front-load them and put them, like, for breakfast, have some toast or some oatmeal, and maybe, like, an early lunch, have, like, a sweet potato or some rice, those are good sources of carbs, and I think they'd be really beneficial to put in your diet. Once it starts to hit the evening time, late afternoon, evening, I say taper them off a little bit and just stick to really good proteins and fats like lean meats and vegetables and things like that.
Yeah, are there some vegetables that you recommend that are better than others? Like, I love asparagus.
Oh, asparagus is great. Yeah. Asparagus is number one. I would say broccoli is way up there. Spinach is fantastic. These are really good power foods with a lot of nutrients in them. Things I wouldn't necessarily say are bad. I don't think any vegetable is bad, but I'm not really a big fan of corn. It's just high glycemic, and it's a little bit tougher for your body to burn. But other than that, I'd say if it's green, you're good to go.
Yeah, now you're a black belt in American karate, and you did that when you were, I think, 9 years old. So you've always been lean, right?
Good memory. Yeah, I've been in the martial arts since I was 5 and got my black belt when I was 9. And fitness has always been a major part of my life. So, yeah, I've always been fairly lean. The important thing here, though, is that while I've been fairly lean, I've worked with over 100 clients that have not been lean. And the book, Built for Show, is addressed at guys and girls, too. I actually just got an email today from a girl that's doing the program. She loves it. And it's really meant for people that want to make a difference and that maybe they're overweight, maybe they're, you know, the skinny guy. And it's just about making a transformation with some very effective, simple workout programs and nutritional advice.
All right, so if somebody wants to get a copy of Built for Show, where can they go?
They can go to builtforshow.com, amazon.com, or they can just go find it in any bookstore in the U.S. and Canada.
Awesome. Well, Nate, it was a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for the tips. Let's see if we can get these listeners into shape.
Thanks, Kay. I really appreciate it.
All right, you have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Nate Green, too, if you don't recognize his name, if you pick up any of those, if you do work out and you read Maximum Fitness or you read Men's Health, Men's Fitness, and actually Men's Health is a good magazine. They've got a lot of good stuff in there, and Nate's done a bunch of stuff for that mag. Coming up, let's hear what President Obama has to say about his nominee, and he introduces her, too. What was that like earlier in the day? We're going to let you in on it next.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health. the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Have you ever noticed that celebrities are endorsing weight loss products and health aids? Do you think they endorse these products for free? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a celebrity, and Life Change Tea doesn't need one. Think about this. The product speaks for itself. What a concept. Our product works. You get healthy, and you'll lose weight. Summer's coming. Look and feel good. Order now. 928-308-0408. Write this down. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. It's easy. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You have nothing to lose but the excess around your, anyway. Life Change Tea. It speaks for itself. That's GetTheTea.com.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecolablue.com. ecolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
O.J. Simpson back in the news. I know you're shocked by that. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Sonia Sotomayor, now the nominee for Barack Obama, rising from the projects to the Supreme Court. Do you like the choice, or do you really know very little? I think, really, to be honest, most people know very little about Sotomayor, other than now what's starting to come out. And I think the important thing is, what have the rulings been in the past? And really, the breadth of her work is what you have to look at. I'd say she's a moderate liberal is a fair assessment of, at least as far as being a judge, the way that she's gone. 800-259-5791, if you want to chime in on that. 800-259-5791. We're going to talk about sexting as well coming up. I'll tell you about the O.J. Simpson thing, too. Appealing his conviction. I think he was stunned at the amount of time that he has to serve for that kidnapping slash robbery deal in Las Vegas, which was completely ridiculous. Some say just desserts for what happened to his ex-wife and Ronald Goldman. But here's what Obama said earlier in the day. It was what was expected, I believe. A lot of names were floated out there, including Janet Napolitano's name, among others. But clearly, this was the direction Obama was going to go in, and this was the first name a lot of people started to talk about. So here's the introduction part.
That a judge's job is to interpret, not make law, to approach decisions without any particular ideology or agenda, but rather a commitment to impartial justice, a respect for precedent, and a determination to faithfully apply the law to the facts at hand. Now, the process of reviewing and selecting a successor to Justice Souter has been rigorous and comprehensive, not least because of the standard that Justice Souter himself has set. with his formidable intellect and fair-mindedness and decency. I've sought the advice of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, including every member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. My team has reached out to constitutional scholars, advocacy organizations, and bar associations representing an array of interests and opinions. After completing this exhaustive process, I have decided to nominate an inspiring woman who I believe will make a great justice, Judge Sonia Sotomayor of the great state of New York.
All right, so that you heard the introduction there, and that was the time when, of course, Obama got it right. There was a couple times during the day you could see he was struggling a little bit with her name. But I think people will start to recognize her name in the next couple of weeks, and the reason why is because they're going to go deep on this one. There's no question. And what Obama has said is he hopes that she will be on the bench by October, and it could be realistic. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of stumbling blocks other than the fact of some of the rulings that would be considered her more left-leaning decisions. So you're going to have the GOP beating those up, certainly. The Democrats, I think she sails through with most of the Democrats, no problem, and I'd be surprised if this one is flipped. And as far as the makeup of the court, and here's ultimately the thing, the makeup of the court isn't changed that dramatically. The ideology changed as dramatically as some would think if they didn't know much about David Souter, because remember, he was the guy who was put up by the first Bush, and Bush thought that he was gonna be conservative in his rulings, and that was definitely not the case if you go back and you look at any of the things that Souter was, obviously any of his decisions. So in this case, pretty much you would be swapping one for the other if you wanted to look at it that way. In fact, I would say she's leans a little bit more, as I said before, toward the moderate end. See, to me, the bottom line is whoever gets on the Supreme Court, you can slap up any bloody label you want to. I mean, that's what we do. We label everything, right? It's like you label your fruit in the refrigerator, you label your next-door neighbor, you label everybody. And a lot of times the labels don't apply. What I care about and what I would really like to find out, and I'm going to try to do that now in the next upcoming weeks through guests and people who are familiar with her work, what are the interpretations of the law? What have the big cases been? And is it fair to say that, the automatic label of the liberal, the liberal, the liberal, or is it about, which I believe in what I've heard so far, is it the letter of the law? I mean, let's get someone on the Supreme Court who's going to look at the law and interpret it that way, not lean in a certain direction. Easy for me to say, as I am not in the legal profession, I have an opinion and I get paid for an opinion. But a talk show host is different than someone that sits on the Supreme Court. I like someone who follows the law. I like someone who looks the law and looks at the interpretation of that, not feeling favoritism one way or the other. Like I said, easy to say if you go down the makeup of the court right now, it would be fair to say that there are certain judges you could say, that side, going that way, going right, going left, going right, going left. How about just somebody who is going to make a good Supreme Court justice? How about that? Wouldn't that be great? I'll tell you who I'm sick to death of hearing about when it comes to a courtroom decisions and appeals and everything else like that. I mean, O.J. Simpson is the guy, and this is coming from someone who interviewed him. He is the guy that just will not go away. He's in prison. He's got a term of about 33 years that he's got to serve, right? Give or take good behavior. And the crazy thing about this whole thing, not to relive it in Vegas, is the fact that he was sentenced on charges that included armed robbery, right? Because the dummy was so arrogant, so convinced that that was his stuff and he should have it back, that he put himself in a situation where, of course, they're going to tape it. Of course, this is O.J. Simpson, and of course, he's going to end up in the situation that he's in, and that's behind bars. And like I said, many people would say, hey, this is this is just desserts for him. When he was convicted in October, last October, on all those charges and then was sentenced, I mean, he's not eligible for parole until 9 years. So now he's appealing his conviction to the Nevada Supreme Court, saying that the trial was fundamentally unfair. Yeah. That Judge Jackie Glass had judicial misconduct. They're accusing that judge of judicial misconduct, saying that it was her behavior. This is a direct quote from what they filed. Her behavior constituted cumulative error that was so egregious and prejudicial that the defense couldn't get a fair trial because the judge put herself into the trial proceedings way too much, screwed with the jury by issuing improper jury instructions, admitted improperly hearsay evidence, refused to allow the defense attorneys to fully cross-examine witnesses. Yeah. I'd be surprised. I would be very surprised if they flipped this over. And here was the other thing. They say also she wouldn't allow defense attorneys to ask prospective jurors about their known and unknown biases. Mm-hmm. And also allowed prosecutors to throw out the only two black potential jurors that were eligible to be on the jury. You know, I mean, the bottom line, come on. Do you know that there is a website that's looking for donations to help Simpson with his appeal? Does anybody think that's not whacked? I mean, seriously. I went to the website to see it, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And this was all because, he wanted his stuff back, memorabilia stuff that had belonged to him. And there were two dealers that had his stuff in this Vegas hotel room at the Palace Station and Casino there. And that's what happened. You know, with weapons, but not firing them, but having the weapons and going after them. You know, that's the bottom line. That's where how they caught him. And the weird thing is, if you believe in what I call karma, is that Simpson's conviction happened on October 3rd. And do you know, and you probably do, but that was the 13th anniversary of his acquittal from the 94 killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ronald Goldman. To me, it's just that number and the fact that it happened the same time, it says a lot. Bottom line is, and the reason I bring it up, is it's back in the news, and it's like I said, the story that just won't go away. I don't believe that the appeal is going to work. I don't think that the Nevada Supreme Court is going to say that his trial was fundamentally unfair, which his attorneys are claiming. I think it'll be denied, and he's going to stay behind bars for a very long time, provided it may be that he gets out after 9 years, but he's going to be in there for that length of time at least, which means that he won't get out until he's about 70, I guess, or close to it, since he's already 61, 62 years old. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more about Sotomayor, who, of course, Sonia Sotomayor, who says it's a humbling honor to be picked as the nominee by the President of the United States for a lifetime position, which would be, of course, the Supreme Court to be the next justice. I'll let you know how some other people weighed in on this. Plus, I mentioned this at the top, but I'll give you some more details. California, how about this, upholding the same-sex marriage ban? Although, if anybody was married in the interim in those 6 months where it was allowed, that will stand, but anybody after it does not stand. We'll talk about that next here on America Tonight.
Didn't teach you that in law school either?
Since 1991, the 7 Store has been helping you prepare in the event of an emergency. The 7 Store is unlike any company you have ever seen, offering a complete line of products that will prepare you for any catastrophe. At the 7 Store, we do something very different for our customers. years. Out of hundreds of preparedness companies in the United States, we are the only one who offers the most complete variety of preparedness items. From storable food, survival, terror and pandemic kits, water storage and self-reliant items, The 7 Store is your place for preparedness. The 7 Plan, our 46-page preparedness guidebook, is your go-to guide to help you prepare for the unexpected. You can get this book with no purchase or obligation absolutely free. For more information, please visit us online at the7store.net. That's the7store.net. Or call us today at 888-654-3447. That's 888-654-3447.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Well, in California, shockingly, I think this is a shocker. The high court upheld the same-sex marriage ban. Remember, that was approved in November, and it was a 6-1 ruling, as I mentioned before. There's about 1,000 people outside the court in San Francisco screaming at the top of their lungs, shame on you. Now, there were 18,000 marriages performed before that ban. So those will stand. They're allowed. But there were so many supporters of that November ballot initiative. Remember the Prop 8? And it's standing. So after that ruling, you had a lot of protests in the street. In fact, a little bit more than 1,000 because more people started to jump in. There were people that were arrested. I mean, come on. Cited for jaywalking. A couple of other people were picked up for their protesting too loudly. How do you get picked up for noise pollution? But the bottom line is a lot of people supporting it said it was upsetting to have the right to marry yanked out from underneath them after last year's court ruling. And, you know, here we go again. So the same court, which is filled with GOP appointees, ruled in May that the state constitution guaranteed gay and lesbian couples the basic civil right to marry. And then, of course, in November, the voters approved the marriage ban by a little bit, but enough that it passed. It was 52-48, actually. And the opponents of the ban argued that it improperly altered, and this makes sense from that point of view, altered California's constitution to restrict a fundamental right guaranteed in the state charter. Bottom line is, you're going to have more of the same in California. There was one dissenting opinion, and that was Justice Carlos Moreno. He's the only Democratic appointee. He said it's just a defeat for same-sex couples. It's not just a defeat for same-sex couples, but for any minority group that seeks the protection of the Equal Protection Clause of the California Constitution. So you had those protests in San Francisco at the court. You also had protests in San Diego and in Los Angeles. Now, it's interesting because you've got voters in 28 other states that have approved constitutional bans on same-sex marriages, and none has been rejected, okay? So we saw what happened in California. Then you have other states now that are approving gay marriage. Four states, Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, and Vermont, allow same-sex marriage. Now, a Vermont law, because this is tricky, making marriages legal jumps in September, so then there would be your fifth. And the District of Columbia voted May 5th to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other places, but it doesn't itself give the gay marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And if you want to slap a label on a state, would you think that this would happen in California? Well, you just heard me tell you about the makeup, certainly, of the court. In the meantime, in New Hampshire, the New Hampshire House and the governor are at serious odds over same-sex vows. And you know what it is? And don't you think this? You're listening to me, you're a little bit older. You're listening to me, you're a little bit younger. There's a generation deal here. I don't think it's so much even, it is politics, but a lot of it is generational. They just did a poll, and I wasn't surprised by this at all, where the CNN Opinion Research Corp, right, they released another poll saying that the marriages between gay or lesbian couples should not be recognized as valid, with 44% suggesting they should be considered legal. But anybody who was 18 to 34 years old, the ones that they surveyed, 58% said same-sex marriages should be legal. Now, think of this age group, 35 to 49, it drops to 42, and a 41 for anyone 50 to 64. Only 24% of Americans 65 and older support recognizing same-sex marriages. And I said that this was such a divider for so many people that I didn't think in my lifetime that this would go across the board, but I'm not so sure now because of the states really arguing it. And I don't think that the federal government is going to be able to continue to ignore it if that continues, right? A couple other things. So that's a good fair or foul. What do you say? Fair or foul on the California court for the way they ruled? You can shoot me an email at americatonight.net, or you can jingle this number, 800-259-5791. Also, we're giving away copies of the book, The Match. But here's the thing, and this is throughout this whole week. Matt, do we have the siren anywhere? When you hear this sound, you know that you've won a copy of The Match. If you just happen to call, there we go. That's it, baby. You hear that siren. It just makes you jump when you hear that, doesn't it? Nobody wants to get stopped by the cops. But this time, the siren's actually a really good thing. That means that you want a copy of the book, and more importantly, so we'll send you the book, but more importantly, you are entered in our drawing to win a GPS system with a backup camera. I have the system, so whoever wins it will get it. It won't take very long. I mean, it's like the Pony Express, certainly, where the hub of our studio is located in Dallas-Fort Worth, but I promise you would get it within a week, which is tremendous. Usually when you get prizes, you have to wait a little bit longer. So there is the good news. Speaking of good news, some people think this is great news out of Minnesota. The parents of a Minnesota boy, remember that they refused the chemo for 13-year-old Daniel Hauser. He has Hodgkin's lymphoma. He and his mother missed a court date last week. They left the state to avoid the chemotherapy, and they were seeking different treatments, alternative treatments. And now the mother and the father both told a judge that they understand their son needs the chemo. She was apparently pretty emotional. She says she believes if it's necessary to save her son's life, that she'll do it. So he's going to get those treatments. He's scheduled for a round of chemo on Thursday at the Children's Hospital in Minnesota. So how about that? After a week on the lam, on the run, she comes back, is talked into coming back because an exam showed that he had a tumor in his chest that's grown, and it's much larger than what was first diagnosed, apparently. And they say the tumor is pushing up against his trachea and causing a lot of pain. So this is something that the doctor said was highly treatable and could change his fate. They felt pretty good about what could happen for him. And I guess it's so he's going to get the second round. But it brings up that interesting legal question of does the court have the right, and I guess there's your answer, have the right to insist on chemo, because that's what happened there. They looked at the X-ray, saw the tumor was growing, as I just mentioned, pushing up against the trachea, and said, no. This kid is getting chemo no matter what you say, because he had one round of chemo in February, but stopped after that because the family said religious beliefs, that they preferred natural healing suggested by a religious group which says they follow American Indian beliefs, and that was it in a nutshell. And the ruling was that the parents medically neglected him, and they ordered them to get an X-ray of the chest as well as an evaluation, and then, of course, the X-ray showed the tumor, and that the tumor had grown. So the mother split, like I said, left for a week and came back. So, because here's the thing. The Hodgkin's lymphoma has a 90% cure rate in kids if treated with chemo and radiation. And the doctor said, flat out, if he was to seek alternative treatments, most likely he would die without the chemo. He would die without the chemo. So the bottom line is it's a restart. They're going to get it and not get prosecuted. The mother's not going to get prosecuted for anything. And they're going to cave in to the court. It's an interesting discussion because, I said this before, you've heard of other stories like this. And frankly, with that kind of a number, 90%, geez, how can you not force them to do that? As a judge, how could you say, well, listen, you don't believe that, so okay. I think in that case, you had to step in for that kid. Remember, you can send us an email, americatonight.net.
Go, Cubs, go! Go, Cubs, go! I pity them pirates!